We got something for him. A whole lot of stacking.
Jalen Johnson.
Jalen Johnson.
Jalen is a premier player.
Starting cornerback for your Chicago Bears.
Jalen's just a real talk expert. He just tells you how he feels.
I have those type of goals and aspirations, and I know to get a yellow jacket, you got to be consistently great. And I think for me, that's my goal, is to consistently be great.
2023 Pro Bowl selection.
Picked off by Jalen Johnson. Johnson, untouched for the touchdown.
2023 All-Pro.
Well, and it's a little bit of the Deion Sanders effect when you're playing opposite of Jalen Johnson.
Takes you inside the locker room after every Bears game.
And this defensive unit's been really good. It's led by Jalen Johnson, the outstanding corner for the Chicago Bears. And I'm really excited to see the matchup between him, Jonathan Mingo, Deontay Johnson, and if Andy Dalton is really going to test Jalen Johnson today.
Yeah, I would say no.
Pass is caught by Johnson. Not much. Deontay Johnson, former Steeler, came into this game as the leading receiver for the Carolina Panthers.
You go against that guy, Jalen Johnson. It's a tough out. Jalen Johnson, one of the best cornerbacks. It's not even close. He has great feet, great hips. Plays a lot of off man, but with that, he has great route recognition. Understands when to break up. Understands the double moves.
He's a whole goat, man.
Jalen Johnson with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
A lot of nice words from Jonathan Vilma about Jalen Johnson. But, I mean, when you're maybe the best corner in the league, people are going to say that about you.
Oh, boy, you said maybe the best corner in the league. Getting it going.
What? I mean, he's an All-Pro. What I'm saying is not crazy.
First team All-Pro. deserves to be.
What I'm saying is not crazy. When you're an All-Pro, you get to be maybe the best at your position because it's the best at your position.
Well, that's why you got to make sure your hair is on point for your weekly hit with Spiegel and Holmes. That's why you got
to
do it.
Jalen, thanks for joining us as per usual. How's it feel to stack a couple wins together?
It feels good, honestly, just being able to really protect home field, just continue to keep that streak alive. But, I mean, honestly, just getting rolling overall, starting to play complimentary football, start trying to figure out ways to win games. So, I mean, go on the road to London tonight and then get another victory and then get a little reset with the bye week and just keep the momentum going from there.
Jalen, I was in the house yesterday, almost shouted to you as I was close enough, but like you're busy. You're working, clearly, understandably. But
where were you at?
I was in 103, so I was down near that end zone where you guys were working out. Where you're warming up. In fact, saw number 21, Jones, he wasn't leaving right away because he was throwing a football with kids in the stands.
Oh, yeah.
And you ran over and said, come on, we got to go. Is that just a leadership move? What's that?
Nah, honestly, so after I caught my few little passes, I went over to see my fiance, my daughter, because it was their first time at the game this year. So I left early to go see them, and then I had got his wife a field pass as well, and I don't think he knew she was down there.
Oh.
So she went. So when I went over there, she was like, "Can you tell Jalen I'm down here?" Da, da, da. I'm like, "Okay, bet." So I went back, and I was kind of looking for him. I'm like, "Bro, what the hell is he doing? Where is that?" So I ended up finding him. I'm like, "Hey, bro, come on for like, hurry up and come see your girl before we got to go inside." So I mean, I was just trying to make sure that he got some wifey love before we had to go back inside. That was it.
The sidelines for you guys has been like a who's who lately. Simone Biles obviously has been on the sidelines.
Yeah,
yesterday, Angel Reese and Captain America himself were on the sidelines for you guys.
Who's Captain America?
From the movies.
Chris Evans?
No, the actual black one, Falcon.
Oh,
he's
okay.
There.
All right.
He was?
Yeah, he was walking the sidelines before
tough.
The game.
I love the Avengers. That's crazy. I ain't even see him.
And of course, Papa Doc in 8 Mile.
Yeah. He played a few roles.
Yeah. So, I'm surprised that you missed him. That's funny, though. But the Bears threw out a whole video with him in it, too. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, see, now I missed it all then because, I mean, I don't know if people probably forget it, don't believe me, but I don't see what's going on in the social world, so they don't send it directly to my phone. I ain't going to really see it unless I see it with my own two eyes.
Well, you made the right choice. Wifey time, family time before the game. That is an excellent choice. So, but that place was hopping. That's got to be, That's got to feel like one of the best games overall that you've been a part of since you've been here, Jalen. Does it?
Yeah, for sure. It was funny because out of town, I think, I don't know, 27-3 or 20, it was something where we were up bad. And I was like, I don't think I've ever had a game like this since I've been in a Bears uniform. So, I mean, at that point in time, I was honestly just telling the guys that, hey, you don't really get too many of these opportunities just, like, in the league. And, of course, definitely where I've been at, kind of just telling guys, like, the story. Like, it's been a long time coming to be able to get a victory like that. And I think for us, I mean, even the – was it the – not the touchdown. What was it? 27-7, I think it was. Yep. And then we got to a point where we were up, like, 30-something seven. So, I was like – I think it was, like, 37-7. I'm like, I ain't never been up for a touchdown, bro. So, kind of just being able to really, like I said, just share that story and just keep guys hungry. Because, I mean, you never know when a win like that will happen again.
How about in terms of the offense, you know, feeling like you got an offense that can run the ball, that can pass the ball? Is that the best offensive performance that you've been here for?
As far as, I feel like maybe scoring-wise, yeah. I mean, I don't really remember the numbers, but of course, I mean, you just look at the points, but like, damn, they scored a lot of damn points. So I think kind of just looking at it from that perspective, of course, where they come from week one and the progression that they made, the progression that everybody has made at the overall perspective, relative positions and things like that, I feel like everybody just continue to grow, continue to stick to the script, and now they're rolling, putting up points, taking care of the football, scoring touchdowns. So I think they're doing a heck of a job. We just got to keep it rolling. Defense has to continue to find ways to improve, find ways to get the offense the ball back, give them short fields, and we got to keep playing complimentary football.
This stretch that the defense is on, considering the amount of points that you guys are giving up, is pretty awesome. How desperate are teams in these situations where it's like, well, wait, we're not going to get a lot of chances to score on these guys? Do they maybe go out and take more chances because of that?
Taking more chances in what ways?
Like maybe they go outside of what their offensive identity is to try and score points because they know that getting points against you guys is not easy.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you got to start kind of looking at it from, I feel like, a holistic standpoint. I mean, maybe they start going for more on special teams, start trying to get fakes, start trying to do different things like that, even going for more on fourth down, just trying to get as many opportunities as they can. Because, I mean, for the most part, teams kind of get aggressive when you start kind of getting closer to their 45 and kind of midfield, and they started being a little more aggressive. But I feel like you'll start seeing teams probably take a little more chances just trying to figure out ways to put up points, figure out ways to continue to give themselves a chance. Because I feel like if you don't play aggressive, if you don't try to find where our weaknesses are, what other teams did, and you kind of just try to stick to what you do and just kind of let it go mano a mano, I feel like a lot of times we'll come out on top.
Man, we've seen Kyler Gordon blitz a bunch and make some plays and get the Spider-Man celebration going. Yesterday, we saw Brisker with a massive hit on a dude named Tremble. And
he trembled.
He did.
He really did. He really did tremble.
I hope he's all right. God, prayers up to that man. But he trembled all right.
Oh, yeah. It's a tough name for a guy who just got a concussion. It's a tough name.
It's a clean hit, though.
Oh, yeah, it was a great hit.
Hey, perfect day. Great hit.
A great hit. Tyreek had a pass block up. You know, he had a PBU. You had a big old hit on a when Kevin Byard was wrapping somebody up, but you like were late in there and put your shoulder in there.
I gave him a little chicken wing. I wouldn't say I hit him too much, chicken too hard. Hey, I didn't finish them all. I gave him a little chicken wing. That's it.
Physicality matters. And then Kevin Byard with an interception.
An incredible one.
Incredible interception. Great. So like, it felt like every member of the secondary had a moment yesterday. Did it feel like that to you?
Yeah, definitely. It's funny you say that because before the game, we huddled up and we wanted to have that type of performance. We literally went out and said, we're going to win this game. It's going to be because of us. So just going out there, making plays, putting the team on our back, putting the defense on our back to where we know every time we step on the field, we're the best position group out there. So, I mean, just another performance to be able to go out there and show that, living in guys. I mean, of course, Deontay Johnson's a great receiver. Andy Dalton and them been lighting it up the last few weeks. So, definitely being able to go out there and definitely do our part, trying to find different ways to impact the game in the run and in the pass.
Each week, I'm amazed by how you stay pretty even keel, and your defense kind of does too. Right. When it comes to you guys, like, understanding that you're in a phase where you're pretty dominant right now, What keeps you humble? How do the coaches work to make sure that you guys don't walk into a game with false bravado?
Honestly, I think it just really starts with the guys we have in our locker room. I think we, after every game, I mean, win, loss, whatever it may be, we get together and we just talk about what could have went better. I mean, you get me, TJ, Kevin, I mean, all the defensive line. I mean, just you get us together and I feel like it's turned into a conversation where it's like, man, I wish we could have did this better. I wish I could have made this play. Or, bro, I'm mad I didn't get under this drop and take away this. Or I'm mad I didn't make this play or make this tackle. Or if I would have, I mean, we have those type of conversations to where when we get back out there, it's like, nah, we still got plays to make. Like, we let, like, even the run we gave up for the touchdown, like, stuff like that irritates us. It's not like, okay, well, yeah, we just held them to one touchdown. We're great. Hoorah. It's like, nah, they shouldn't even have that touchdown. So I think we always look at it from a wide perspective of just wanting to dominate completely in everything that we do. But I think, too, also just knowing that things are going to happen, but also, too, holding a certain standard and holding each other accountable. And, I mean, at the end of the day, we have a lot of fun competing to see who's going to make the most plays. So we definitely got a weekly competition going. So that definitely keeps us going.
Our segment with Jalen Johnson is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Plumbing Emergency. Call the plumbing professionals 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. It is also brought to you by the fine folks over at Phillips Chevrolet, the number one selling Chevy dealer in Illinois for 18 years in a row. And our segment with Jalen Johnson is brought to you by Busey Bank, building businesses, growing wealth since 1868.
Jalen knows the game. He's listening to those sponsorships getting knocked out. So what's the weekly competition? What's the weekly competition? Is it for tackles or for plays?
Nah, you should know better than tackles. Nah, it's really about turnovers. So, I mean, can't go into too many details, but we got some things going for interceptions, forced fumbles, fumble recoveries, pick sixes. So we kind of got a little way to make sure everybody's feeling good at the end of the week to get compensated in some way, shape, or form for making plays. So we kind of try to figure out a little something to keep things spicy.
Love it. All right, we won't out you on that, but you should get credit for a one-on-one tackle. Because TJ had one. You had one. You had a one-on-one tackle. I think it was a third down play to hold somebody for getting a first down. By the way, on that play, are you rolling dice? What are you doing to celebrate? Looked like you were down in a crouch and rolling dice or something after you made the tackle.
No. It's my thing I got going this year. I got to watch my language, but it's more so just like a belt sign or symbol, I would say, as far as getting a whooping. So, I mean, that's the PG way I can say. But so, I mean, that's not like the new thing. I don't know if you guys seen after like some of like the interceptions I've gotten or certain plays where everybody will kind of just start signaling like they getting whooped. So that's the new thing for me this year.
Got it. So we could start playing a little hustle and flow for you when you come in. Just be like, Jalen's out there going, "Whoop that trick! Whoop that trick!"
Every time. That's the goal. I mean, again, just like dominance, just for me, just finding ways to dominate the game. Because, I mean, again, it's not like I'm just get so many targets every week. So, I mean, just, again, whether it's tackling, whether it's being aggressive and setting the edge or getting off a block or finishing off a tackle, whatever it may be, got to stay engaged, and definitely in coverage is something that I got to continue to aim to be 100% at in the game. So, I mean, just trying to find ways to really dominate the game.
What was the win like at field level?
It was on and off. Like, I mean, at some point, like, it didn't really feel like anything. And then at other times in the game, it was like, man, this wind blowing pretty good. And it's like, you didn't know where it was really coming from. So, I mean, there's a few times I'm throwing water in the air trying to see which way the wind was taking it and different things like that. But, I mean, overall for the defense, you don't pay attention to it too much because we're not throwing the ball. We don't really care about the precision of the passes. So we just continue to stay locked in throughout it. But it seemed like our offense battled with it pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Caleb said he was doing that before every drive. He's squirting a little bit of water in the air, see how it's going. But his arm was strong enough that it just seemed to cut through on everything. It's good to have that guy in that way.
Yeah. For sure. He had a heck of a game.
And, you know, speaking of Caleb, he said that the leadership council had gotten together after one of the practices. Were you part of that? You know what I'm talking about? After, I think, Thursday's practice? I got him talking about it. We could play it if that rings a bell. to you.
Yeah, I was about to say, we meet Scott a few times.
All right, okay. Well, let's listen. This is Caleb Williams from his post game talking about the Leadership Council, which was obviously was big news last week, but we didn't hear about this week after the Thursday practice they gathered.
No, the games even that we lost, we were right there. Most of them were just small details throughout the game that we were missing. And I think after those losses and even after, you know, this week and the week before, these wins, us understanding, the leaders and things like that, understanding we got a lot of room to get better. We got a lot of things that we need to fix. Like this week, I think it was Thursday, we didn't have our best practice offensively. The next day, leaders met kind of a little bit walking off the field on the offensive side and said we need to be better tomorrow. We came back the next day locked in and focused and obviously understanding the situation and us just, pushing each other for that next day. And it led into the game, I think.
So maybe that was just the offensive leaders. Is that what he's talking about? Okay. What?
Yeah, I was about to say, Dan, they invite me to that meeting.
but that's okay, though.
But that's cool to hear the offensive leaders getting together.
No. Right. I'm thinking it was all like the captains and leaders, and I was the only one that couldn't understand it. But it was just it was definitely just offense. Because, I mean, for like I hope that I would have got the invite if it was everybody together. But I think that definitely was something that they did, because it happened really exactly how he said it happened. So just guys continuing to step up leadership wise, owning the team, owning the locker room. Cause I mean, we can't keep waiting and, oh, well, this is going to be like this and we got to wait and hopefully we free. No. It's more so about taking action. So definitely for them to be able to come together and take action like that is a big step in the right direction.
And you guys as a defense, do the leaders get together sometimes and talk like that?
No, I can't say I wouldn't say we haven't done that. I mean, but again, I feel like it's often we talk all the time. I mean, we'll talk whether it's at breakfast at times or we'll talk after practice when we get in treatment. We've had plenty of sauna and hot tub conversations. So, I mean, we're a pretty tight knit group, I would say, all the time. It's not necessarily us wait until after practice or whatever. I mean, we meet even before practice. Every time we take the field together, we get a break, talk about what we want to do, how we're going to do it, and then we go out there and get a break. So I think really just overall that for us has always been a thing as far as like the communication, transparency, the accountability. We always have that.
Jalen, obviously you guys want to go over there and win the game against Jacksonville. Okay. I'm curious, is there anything about this trip from a cultural standpoint that you're interested in, or is it strictly a business thing?
I mean, honestly, it's crazy. I was just talking to my fiance about it. Like, I don't even know what to expect outside of, like, of course, like playing the game. It's like, I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what they're known for. I don't know if they have good food, bad food, if it's good sites, good stores. I mean, I truly have no idea. So, I mean, I'm just going, I'm packing some clothes, just in case I go out and enjoy the sites, get a nice dinner or something. But I honestly have no idea what to expect. So I'm hoping it treats me good, because I don't know what to expect right now. So,
well, I mean, there's definitely a lot of history. And what I do think is interesting about the NFL games is obviously Jacksonville is a home team. Like, they're playing two games.
They go there all the time.
Yeah, like that's like their second home. But it's cool to see in the stands, because there aren't a ton of NFL games that are played there, how many just NFL fans are there? You're going to see all sorts of different jerseys. But I will also say, Bears fans travel. There's a whole group of Bears fans from the 80s that live over there. So you guys are going to get more support than I think you think walking into that place.
No doubt. I mean, I hope so. I mean, I feel like there hasn't been too many places where we win and we haven't had our Bear fans there showing out. So I think I don't expect anything different from it. I'm expecting to see a lot of Chicago jerseys, I'm assuming, in the city and things like that. So, I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to it, not knowing too much what to expect. But, hey, I'm sure this trip will do us justice.
It's awesome. I love the idea of Jalen Johnson, who's been here a while now, looking up and seeing the score, 27-7. Oh, wait a minute. Now it's 30-7. I don't know what the hell to do with myself.
I'm telling you, I was happy as hell. I had a big smile on my face. I'm like, hey, God, this is what I'm talking about. I ain't felt like this in a long time.
When you can get a break at the end of the game, too. You know, the fourth quarter comes along.
I've never had that. I've never had that in the league. In college, a few times, but not since I've been in the pros, for sure.
That's amazing. Jalen, you deserve it. All right, first team All-Pro. That's the goal this year, right? And then you can enter Lawrence's conversation for the best cornerback in the league.
I can't let you say that like that. I ain't going to lie to you. And utmost respect, I love Sauce. I love everything that he's been doing. He's been going crazy for a long time. He's definitely one of the best in the league for sure. But I just don't feel like last year he had a better year than me. And that one, Deron Bland broke records. He got to be first team All-Pro. But I feel like realistically, if we just really being real about the situation, I think it was a clear snub. But it's no issue. I'm second team, grateful for it. But I feel like it's one of those things where you can't not say I'm not one of the best, respectfully and humbly.
That's what I'm saying.
Good for you. Good for you. I mean, well, look, you're a
Why
guy.
Why are you trying to cause discord between me and Jalen?
No, I know Jalen. The fact be the fact stuff.
Jalen, I know you got my back on this one. It's just like I say, maybe the best corner in the league.
You said maybe. You didn't say undisputed. You didn't say without no question. You just said maybe. I mean, we can discuss it. We can go back and forth. Pick your favorite four, favorite five. We can figure it out.
Absolutely.
But I
will say this: the conversation cannot be had without you in it. That's my point.
You guys see,
me in the conversation. That's all. I'm good for that.
You're there. You're there.
One, just put me up there.
You see Patrick Surtain. You see Patrick Surtain's long interception return for a touchdown.
Why are you doing this? What are you doing right now?
He watches the whole league.
He can't turn me against him because I love those guys. I love Sauce. I love Pat. I love great, excellent DB play. So I mean, it's definitely nothing against nobody else. But I just believe in what I've done, especially these last few years. I mean, I feel like I'm up there in conversation. Again, it's subjective. Everybody has their opinions. Everybody says they want to say. But I feel like you look at it, there's definitely, I feel like, undisputed a group of guys. And I feel like I'm in that list.
That's right. That's what we're going to play every time.
There you go.
Every time there's a big play for Jalen. He knows. He knows. The people on Twitch get to see it.
That's it.
Oh, my God.
Jalen, you're the best. Have a great, safe, fun trip over to London.
No doubt. Appreciate you guys.
All right. Thanks, Jalen. Tapping into a lot of things with the great Jalen Johnson right there.
Yeah, man. He's a lot of fun.
He's a lot of fun. And he came back after getting paid with as much of an edge or more. And he
kind
of
like it.
Yes. It's necessary to do what he does.
Get paid and then they end up getting benched.
That's what I'm saying. That he is the anti-dog with fleas. He's the anti-version of that. He gets paid and comes back pissed. And he's like, second team All-Pro? How dare you? How dare you? And he's got more and more to fight on.
Speaking, it's our third year talking to Jalen, right?
Third year.
On the afternoon show here?
Yes.
He's never sounded happier, I don't think.
I think you're right. I mean, like, super excited. He does a blowout. Well, blowout. The offense delivering that many points.
Getting plays off in the fourth quarter.
I never had that before, he said.
That's wild.
The whole backup secondary out there for him.
It was great. It was great for everyone. You get off your feet. You get to unstrap your shoulder pads. You're good to go. Why don't we keep talking a lot more about your Chicago Bears? We experienced the game in different ways yesterday, similar to last week, just reversed. We'll talk about that next here on The Score.
Former NBA MVP with the Bulls, Derrick Rose, recently announced his retirement. He's in attendance here today. Got a huge ovation from the crowd. Well, youngest MVP ovation in league history.
Well, he was something special. I loved watching Derrick Rose.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
Thanks for reminding me, Tanny. Yeah, D. Rose was there too with his son. This is making all of us feel really old,
dude,
because his son's like a grown-up
now. I know, and that's the son with the respect. I'm conflating my memes. Forget it. Disregard me.
Well, they got a meeting with Caleb after the game because the two boys were wearing, it's funny because Derek was wearing a Justin jersey. Or maybe it was a Jalen Johnson. I didn't see the back. So I guess technically it could be a Jalen Johnson.
Was it not a custom made Rose number one that the Bears made for him?
Maybe.
I think it could be, but I didn't see the back.
But it was interesting because, like, the way that the picture that the Bears put up was, like, you can see the two boys in the 18s, and then you see Derek, like, side view, so you can't quite see the one. And I was like, I wonder if that's a thing. But you're right. It's probably a custom Derrick Rose one.
I would think. I think the Bears made him a custom one.
So you got Derrick Rose there, Anthony Mackie, a.k.a. Captain America. Mm-hmm. Angel Reese is there. Simone Biles is there. Apparently the sideline is where you're supposed. Did you see anyone?
Yeah, I was right behind where Angel Reese was standing. She was directly in front of us in 103. Had a great time. Thank you to Pavement Dave. I'm going to call him Pavement Dave. Was our benefactor. His kid, good friends with my kid. They were there hanging out, and my brother-in-law too. So it was the five of us. It was just awesome. And we're right there behind Angel Reese, and like a whole bunch of people came over. Richard Dent came over with his wife, and they were talking to Angel. Then it looked like Richard's wife dragged him away from there very quickly. Definitely had that vibe, Lawrence.
Hey, whoever you're dating, if you're significant other is talking to Angel Reese and look at her,
Come with me.
You might have to.
That's enough for you.
Yeah, you might. You said hi. Now let's go.
At the end, after everybody ran off, Montez Sweat made a beeline for Angel, came over, and they had a moment. So that's why we had a very special episode of That's Montez earlier during at the beginning of the show. Colin Johnson bringing gloves to a birthday kid. Like, oh, come on, I'll go get you something. He went and got some receiver gloves and handed them off. It was very cool.
We had him on the show after the second preseason game. Delightful.
Delightful guy.
Absolutely delightful.
Yep. So, and just like, and the whole thing, the loudness on third down, it's so fun to feel the emotional swings at a football game and the volatility of the emotional swings, because like the place was hopping, the Bears are going to dominate this, and on third down you're feeling, and then on fourth down, and then the Carolina gets that early fourth down and converts, and then Chuba Hubbard goes up the gut for a long touchdown.
Yep.
And there's a whole vibe of uh-oh, and that place gets so quiet. It's like, you know, you forget, you feel that volatility of the emotional swing, and then when things got good, it was so good. And then we were right by that end zone where they kept bringing out Doug Kramer for the short touchdowns, the one of the Roshan touchdowns, I guess. Yeah, and then the...
Putting Doug in motion now.
Dude. And just
get him on the run to go get that end.
The slow build of the joy in the place as people saw our guy, the mini fridge, running on to the thing. It's
running
like
God's play down there. It was pretty good.
Yeah, in the God's play formation, and as you say, Doug in motion too. But like, I was enjoying watching the offense, but it was way more fun to watch the defense from like behind there and off to the side, like just to see all the communication that goes on for the defense, the appreciation that you can have for it when you're there before the field goal to make it 30-10, seeing Daryl Taylor get that speed rush off the edge. And on that same drive where the Panthers wide out, I forget whether it was Johnson or who, dropped the short slant on third down. And you get a sense for the terror in a human's like soul for when a dominant defense and a loud home crowd is bearing down on you. We've all seen wide receivers short arm a ball just for a split second. I got the sense of what that feels like, and how even when you're a big ass tough athlete, you can feel that. Oh man!
I mean, 61,000 people raining down heat on you is a lot to overcome. Like the athletes who can do it at this level, that part of it
yes,
is amazing.
Yes, and you don't like, and it's just the physical brutality of it and the violence of it. I felt like I got a better sense for it, obviously, in person than you often do. And you feel it as a collective. You feel that those gladiator vibes and those Roman arena vibes of like, these are the modern gladiators, man. This is what it is to have 60,000 people, you know, feeling that sense of violence along with a football team. Powerful stuff.
People are saying Shota was at the game yesterday too. That's a pretty good list of people. If that's true, I wonder if Common was there, because I know that he's in town this week. Like, he's at his school.
Hey, Chicago, bear down.
Hell yeah,
dude, that is awesome.
Shota is like,
Shota loves,
quickly is becoming one of my favorites in the city.
He loves this city.
City loves him.
He was here living in Arlington Heights in the preseason last year, hanging out, and went to Blackhawks games, went to all kinds of stuff, loves it. Now he's still sticking around after baseball season's done. Way to go.
Well, here's the thing about it, though. Look, Weather has been an issue all around the country. It has not been an issue in Chicago. That is good in the short term, probably not great for the long term. But in the short term, this has been ideal.
That was exquisite yesterday.
And when I looked up, I saw Morgan this morning on Channel 9, and she gave like the 10-day forecast, and I was like, oh, so it's just going to be perfect for the next 10 days. We're gonna bounce between like 68 and 80 with no rain for the next 10 days. Okay,
man.
I'll sign up for that. That sounds like a great, like, you know why? Because in the City Beautiful, you get to still, for now, hit up all the places that you like to go eat outside. Because ordinarily, October 1 is kind of a, yeah, let's get this stuff in the house. But no.
No. Got invited to go hang out at a tailgate in the South Lot. My guy Danny over there. Danny, what's your favorite thing to make at a tailgate? Made a breakfast, like, casserole.
Oh.
With
like, oh, so yeah, you missed,
an hour.
You missed. You had one of those promos during the Bears game during the TV broadcast.
Yeah, I'm sure you saw it
on your watch through today.
Yeah,
oh, man,
it was very cool to see. It is like a big one, like with his picture on it and everything.
I think it's the first one where they've like said the names and everything. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Good for him. Good for him.
My watching experience was like the most normal watching experience for me because I'm used to, hey, I'm going to watch games with Bears players. And then I'm just going to like sit there and try to take in all the information and watching those guys. And like Patrick and Olin like throw stuff at each other where Olin will be like, hey, what did you see on that? And Patrick will tell Olin what he's seeing. It's like, oh, I thought maybe it was this. And then it's so much fun. It's like going to grad school for football where you're sitting there like, what's happening? Like, I got to catch up. Like, I got to be paying attention. I've got to take notes. But the food and stuff at Wonderverse, like, they just kept bringing us stuff. And we were in the Ghostbusters room.
Of course you were.
So we had, I think I have a picture of it.
I got to get out there, huh?
Yeah, you do. So we were in a room, Speaks, where they had the proton packs, like, on the wall.
Hell yes. Put the proton packs on, people.
So we had
and
that.
And you didn't cross the streams, right?
No, we did not.
That would be bad.
That would be bad. We did not cross the streams. And then they have a whole Ghostbusters experience. The whole thing was great. Like, it was football. It was great food. We were treated really well. The pregame, I thought, was fantastic. The postgame went really quickly because people are in a good mood when the Bears win, as they should be. It's fun.
Man.
It's fun. I'm glad that you had that experience, though, because it can change your perspective.
It really can. It really can. You feel a part of it, and you understand our listeners a little bit more, frankly. That's what I felt was
sure.
Like. The volatility of the emotional swings of a football game and a football season, it's very different than any other sport because of how much everything is weighted and how and when you're there, it's like the excitement level of everybody to be there. I felt a part of the fight. We'll talk about that later in the show.
Yeah, you almost felt a part of a fight that was happening in your section.
It was near it. There was a fan that almost ruined the experience, but he did not.
We are going to talk about that next here on The Score.
Spiegel at home.
First of all, congratulations. You know, it's nice to have a couple new faces at The Score and not just kidding.
Afternoons on The Score.
Pinheiro perfect this season. 6 of 6. This will be a 45-yard attempt.
Did you just do your usual Kenny jinx?
Just stating facts.
Yeah. You always say that.
Just stating facts. From the left hash.
There you go. Like clockwork.
Check mark, Vilma. Bears 20-point lead.
Kenny Albert putting that thang on Eddie Pinheiro for him to miss the kick.
Pinheiro with the De Niro kick.
Not yesterday. He had to contend with some pretty crazy swirling winds that were going on at Soldier Field.
Couldn't even tell from the 100 section. A listener so texted, fancy. Said, well, but they said you could hear it from the, you could see it from the 200s. It's just an interesting that thing that I couldn't tell from down there.
So who messed up your Sunday?
He tried to. We didn't let him. So my guy, Pavement Dave, I'm just going to call him Dave Mint. So Dave Mint invited us, which was very nice.
I don't know if Dave Mint wants to be called that.
It's too late. He doesn't get to choose.
If
so,
Dave Mint knows speaks, you should know it doesn't matter.
I can't believe that he has the audacity to think he gets to control his own name.
You know what I'm saying? You're saying speaks. The caviar didn't slide off your plate with the swirling winds down there.
Come on.
It's not the audacity. It's Odyssey.
Oh, whatever it is.
Get it right.
Whatever
do,
it
do,
is.
Do, 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 do.
Thanks for playing along on that one. Shane loves that. It's his favorite joke. There's a dude behind us who was just shouting thoughtful, angry obscenities about every play. Every play.
Like the good ones?
Everything. Very anti-Panthers, anti-Andy Dalton.
Oh, okay. Well.
But also very anti-Shane Waldron.
Oh.
And anti any play that went bad for the Bears.
Any negative play or any play that was a stalemate or maybe even a 3-yard game.
Sure. Yeah, anything like that.
So glad Robbie hooked this up. This is awesome. This is awesome.
So he's shouting constantly, lots of profanities, sitting directly behind two young boys, like 12-year-old kids. And he's sitting directly behind them, shouting obscenities constantly. And, you know, all right, the occasional S-bomb, occasional F-bomb, whatever. But it just kept going and going. And then at one point he called Shane Waldron the 10-letter word that gets you thrown out of baseball games. Isn't it 10 letters, I think?
12 letters?
Is it 12? Yes. C-O. Yeah.
Oh, that one.
And it ends with a C-K-E-R.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. He's throwing
that
around.
That's wrong on a couple levels.
Okay, a couple levels. So he's throwing that around. He's throwing all this around. And it's like, what a tricky, what do you do when it's not your tickets? Like, my friend brought me there.
Well, they have the signs that you're supposed to just text. Like, that. The signs in Soldier Field are, you don't have to say anything to that person.
Ah.
You can just text and be like, hey, this is what's going on in this section. Would you come on down?
Should go do that.
Yeah.
And it's like, but just like the idea that an adult man baby would go there begging to be parented. And then when he was parented, when somebody said something, then he's like, well, I can't use my language anymore. Oh, no. And he starts being that guy. You know, it's like all about
instead of being like, oh, you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
My bad.
No. Looking for somebody to parent him. And then when somebody does, then he's resentful about it. Like, how often does this happen at Bears games?
I think it happens a lot.
That's what I'm afraid of.
But my experience last week, there wasn't a lot of that where I was, but there was the guy that was having a rough time dealing with silence. And any sort of silence,
he had to fill it up.
He would yell out Omaha. And I'm like, all right, man, like that was funny like once, but literally every time Caleb is in shotgun, you're going to yell Omaha.
He got a laugh once and he was like, I'm just going to keep doing it.
Just keep doing it. Rule of three, yeah. Rule of 16, just keep doing it.
That's got to hurt.
So the text line is a great call.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. That way you don't have to put yourself in danger.
Uh-huh. Or violate the relationship, because it's like it's a brotherhood. It's a family in some senses when they're your tickets and then they have their tickets and you're trying not to upset each other and let everybody enjoy their time in their own way.
Well, and maybe it doesn't go to the extreme where the person is kicked out and maybe just a nice staffer comes, hey, sir, we've had some complaints about your language. Could you keep it down?
Uh-huh. Don't you think it's directly tied to the violence and feeling a part of the emotional swings that I was talking about in the last segment?
I think it probably has more to do with the alcohol consumption.
Well, I think that's a factor.
Culture. Getting there at 7 in the morning.
Yeah, because the texture says, it sounds like every football game I have ever been to. You know, that is it happens every once in a while at a baseball game. I've noticed it, but I think it probably happens at a lot more football games.
Maybe. I mean, look, hockey is a really violent sport. I went to go see Connor Bedard last April. It was the first time. I won't wait that long this year to see Bedard after the Blackhawks get back from apparently the longest West Coast.
which starts like immediately.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
In Utah, which is also like a thing.
It's hockey hotbed.
Yeah, hockey hotbed, Utah. But I noticed at where I was at the Hawks game, people were so in awe of Bedard that there wasn't a lot of that. And maybe you walk in knowing like the team's really bad, but this guy's really good. The amount of people who were taking videos of his shifts was amazing. Like the fathers and sons that are there like watching that dude. So hockey is a place where you'd expect to hear a little bit more of that. My one experience last year, none of it. So, I mean, even with a similarly violent sport.
Uh-huh. You don't have time to really, hockey's a pretty quick game. And if you're not tailgating for 3 hours before.
That's true.
I think it is connected to the culture of drinking starting at 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. All around that place.
It is strange.
But like, it was damn fun to walk through.
We both live fairly close to Soldier Field.
Yeah.
And we can both see like the beginnings of it. When I used to cover games, and I drive down and I'd be like getting to Soldier Field like 8:30, 8:45. And I'm like, wow, there are people here. There are people on the 31st Street lot. There are people walking from the lakefront.
Oh, yeah.
There are people coming from north of Soldier Field. I'm like, it's way too early for them to be here.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, you do your thing. I personally, I'd rather, I don't even know if I need to watch the game from in the building if the tailgate's good enough. That seems like a more fun time to just kind of hang out. And I don't know what the rules are, if you're allowed to keep tailgating while the game is going on.
I'm sure
whatever.
You can. You just stay there if you've brought a TV and can just set that up and watch.
That seems like it would be dope.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you're already there. So, like, a game like yesterday, the sober person can start packing up in the third quarter and you can get on up out of there.
Yeah. Texture says, I'd rather deal with a little language than some random street neighbor trying to high-five me all game, Speaks.
Hey, man.
Just a few high-fives.
A lot of us have learned to deal with some of our anxiety that we didn't realize was there. I feel you on that. It's
You don't like the stranger high-fives?
I'm fine with it, but I understand where this person is coming from on that.
What's the line? I mean, obviously a touchdown high-five.
Oh, for sure.
Sack?
Ooh, it depends. Is it Tez?
No.
That's Montez.
It's a Dexter and DeMarcus Ware split sack.
Well, if it's DeMarcus Ware, then we got another
DeMarcus
story.
Walker. DeMarcus Walker.
But yes.
An Andrew Billings sack.
Oh, Big
100%.
Bill? Big Bill? We need to put him on like a $100 bill. That should be the thing that we do with Andrew Billings. We've got a Bears report, a Bears hit. Two words with Mark Grody. Don't go anywhere. It's next here on The Score.